Thank you very much for coming here on Sunday evening. Generally on Sunday people like to relax. Of course, temple is also a good place to relax. You can combine your relaxation with spiritual advancement. It's a good bargain. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari.
Yashoda Nandana Braj Jana Ranjana.
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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama One has to face death, And the conclusion, of course, is that one has to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And one has to remember Krishna at the time of death. Then one is protected from the most terrible calamity that can ever happen, which is to be born. Sounds rather mean to say that, but it's a fact. To be born in this world means to be destined to at least one lifetime of suffering. So long as we have the material body, along with it comes suffering. It comes for free. In Vrindavan there's so many monkeys. There's one particular apartment building. I was mentioning this in Melbourne recently. And the residents there in that apartment building are very scared to step out of their apartments. They are very cautious because the monkeys loitering everywhere. And you never know what monkeys will do. And sometimes they sit there in groups. It can be quite intimidating. So when one of the residents, the devotees, they complained to the owner of the apartment complex about monkeys, he said, look, in Vrindavan, and especially in our place, when you buy an apartment, the monkeys come for free. It's like when you buy some products in the market, they say, okay, we'll give you one pencil free if you buy this or something like that. So also in this material world, you take birth and suffering comes for free. Dollars of it, tons of it, unasked for. Nobody likes suffering. But it comes uninvited, like a bad guest who just storms into your house. So the greatest suffering we can have is when we have to be born again in this material world, generally speaking. Therefore, if we learn how to become pure devotees of Krishna and we remember Krishna while living, and then naturally we'll also remember Krishna while we die, then we will transcend this troublesome cycle of birth and death. And we will go to Krishna's eternal kingdom, the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, never to return again to this world of misery. So this is a glorious departure. All other departures are not glorious because they produce suffering. An ordinary death of an ordinary person is really speaking of no value from a larger point of view, because that same individual has died millions of times before in previous births, and there are millions like him dying all over the world who are taking birth again. So there's nothing special about somebody dying. Sometimes we see that people may die for a cause that's appreciated very much by a certain group of people, as I was mentioning briefly last time. But that would be appreciated by some and maybe not by others. And even otherwise, the person still has to be born again. Despite having sacrificed his or her life, the person will be born again into the world of suffering. So that sacrifice that person has made has not solved the real problem. The real problem of birth and death. So therefore that death, even if it's considered glorious by certain mundane considerations, will not be really that glorious from a spiritual point of view. From a spiritual point of view, that death is glorious, which happens in remembrance of the Supreme Lord Krishna, or in service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, as a result of which one doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. And one enters into the eternal realm. There are many, many such examples that can be seen nowadays, or rather, that can be seen in history. And let's just discuss a few of these examples. Today, let's talk about one very, very famous and prominent example, and that is the example of Maharaj Parikshit. Actually, I planned to speak on Haridas Thakur, and I brought the Chaitanya Charitamrita with me. And somehow, as I was taking darshan, I just all of a sudden decided to speak on Maharaj Parikshit. Maybe it's better to start with Maharaj Parikshit and culminate with Haridas Thakur and then Srila Prabhupada mentioned. Maharaj Parikshit's case is very inspirational, very instructive for the whole world. And it is for the sake of Maharaj Parikshit's glorious departure that this glorious text, the Srimad Bhagavatam, happened to be composed. Had it not been for Maharaj Parikshit's departure from this world, or his impending departure, we would have been deprived of this magnum opus of Srila Vyasadeva, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest spiritual text in all of creation that contains the highest spiritual truths, the deepest understanding of the Absolute Truth. Actually speaking, the circumstances that led to the what may appear to be premature death of Parikshit Maharaj were not ordinary circumstances. There were circumstances that one can clearly understand from a devotional point of view to be directly the arrangement of Lord Krishna. Because Krishna uses his pure devotees as instruments to fulfill certain purposes. And most often those purposes have to do with the deliverance of people in this world. They have to do with giving instruction to the people of this world. So Maharaj Parikshit, being a great devotee, Shukadev Maharaj, the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, being a great devotee, were brought together by the arrangement of Krishna. Because he wanted this monumental text to be spoken and recorded for the benefit of all posterity. For thousands and thousands of years, millions of years, the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually an eternal text. Because the knowledge about Krishna is eternal. His pastimes are eternal. They are ever fresh. However, they are compiled at different times and in different circumstances. And there may be some slight changes. For example, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna 5,000 years ago on the battlefield. And in the course of speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Krishna, Krishna says that I have previously spoken this Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, the Vaswan. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport performs a calculation and comes to the conclusion that this happened more than 120 trillion years ago, only. In the time span of eternity, 120 trillion years is nothing. It's just like a flash. For us, the number doesn't mean anything. It's just a figure. We can't even comprehend in our mind, in our brain, how large a time span this is. 120 trillion years? But when we speak of eternity, we talk of thousands and thousands of trillions of years. It's still a flash. So then when Krishna spoke to the sun god, the Bhagavad Gita, was it exactly the same? Was the format the same? Was the content the same? Was the style of presentation the same? Was the context the same as when he spoke it to Arjuna? Not exactly. The circumstances were different. The length of the text may have been different. The exact structure of the verses may have been different. But the content was the same. The knowledge was the same. So therefore, it's the same Bhagavad Gita presented, you could say, in a different edition. Sometimes it's an abridged edition, sometimes it's an unabridged edition. So similarly with the Srimad Bhagavatam, this text, how many verses are there, by the way, in this Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000 verses. But there are other editions, so to speak, of the Srimad Bhagavatam available in other parts of the universe and perhaps in other universes, which are much longer than this, maybe hundreds of thousands of verses long. In any case, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the guiding beacon light for the people of this age of Kali, whose eyes are dull and gross and lack spiritual vision. Even material vision we lack, so we have to wear these spectacles. But spiritual vision also we lack. So when Krishna departed from this world, he arranged for this Srimad Bhagavatam so that the people in Kali Yuga would have some source of knowledge about the Absolute Truth and get some kind of guidelines about how to proceed in life for spiritual perfection. Krishna Svadham Upakate Dharma Jnana Adhisa Kalau Nashtatrisham Esha Purana Arkotanoditaha. The Bhagavatam says that when Krishna departed after performing his pastimes for 125 years approximately, he returned to his abode from where he had descended into this material world on the earth planet. As he departed, he took dharma and knowledge with him, but what did he leave behind? What would be the source of guidance? What would be the torchlight of knowledge for the people in this fallen age? And the answer is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was just like a newly risen sun. Just as a sun lights up the night sky, destroys and dissipates the darkness of the night, and gives knowledge to everybody. In the darkness of the night, we don't see what is where. And we are very hesitant to walk because we may fall into a ditch or something like that. Or we are afraid of thieves coming around the corner. But when there is sunlight, there is knowledge because we have vision. With vision comes knowledge, with knowledge comes fearlessness. So you walk fearlessly in the streets, not worried about anything. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the text that is meant to impart spiritual vision to the people of this world, and thereby to give true knowledge and true fearlessness, even in the face of the greatest challenge that anyone can face in life, and that is death. So then Krishna had to arrange a circumstance in which the Srimad Bhagavatam would be spoken. And what better circumstance to arrange than somebody's death? But that somebody was not just an ordinary somebody. He was a very special soul, a great devotee, King Parikshit, who was the son of Abhimanyu, who in turn was the son of Arjuna, the great Pandava warrior. Parikshit was very blessed from even his time in his mother's womb. When Ashwatthama, the son of the guru of the Pandava, Dronacharya, had released the Brahmastra weapon to kill Parikshit, who was still in the womb, Krishna protected him. When Parikshit's mother Uttara ran to Krishna, Krishna said, "Don't worry, I will protect you because you are my devotee. And this child in your womb is also a devotee of mine." So Krishna immediately manifested within the womb of Uttara, and in his four-armed form, he circumambulated the child. He was moving round and round the fetus, and the child was watching this most effulgent personality with great astonishment and wonder. And he never forgot that vision. So he became a devotee from his time in in the womb. So such was the personality whose death Krishna orchestrated. Having saved him from death in the womb, Krishna had a right, isn't it? He's given him another life. So I want you to live your life for my purpose, for fulfilling my objectives. Anyway, ordinarily speaking, the child should have died in the womb, had it not been for Krishna's divine intervention. Sometimes people go through traumatic near-death experiences, near misses. They may have an accident or maybe a major surgery where the doctors say, well, he should have died, but somehow or the other it's a miracle he survived. Or someone survives in an air crash, someone survives in all kinds of impossible situations. Sometime it happened to one person who happened to be a friend of a devotee. And the devotee brought this person to me and said, this person has such and such, near miss. It was really a miracle that this person survived from what he described. So then I mentioned to him that that means that you should have died, but Krishna has given you this new life so that you can serve him. Now you are a different person, because the person who was before this incident was somebody else. Now Krishna gave you a new life, so this life is not yours anymore. It's for Krishna's service. So similarly for Parikshit, he was anyway supposed to die in the mother's womb, but he didn't. Krishna saved him because Krishna wanted to save him and keep him hale and hearty for many purposes. For example, to demonstrate how one can be a perfect devotee in the womb. As a child, Parikshit Maharaj is always serving and decorating the deity of Krishna. His thoughts were always absorbed in Krishna. As a king, he demonstrated how a perfect leader should be in the society. And eventually, the greatest lesson that Krishna wanted to teach the world through Maharaj Parikshit was how to die. And therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam was arranged. And Parikshit Maharaj was in the flush of youth. He wasn't an elderly man whose body was weak and frail. He was in the pink of health. He was as strong as he had been any time in his life. And the circumstances that happened were also unusual, something that normally Parikshit Maharaj would never have done. He was in the forest one time on an expedition, feeling very thirsty all of a sudden, an unbearable thirst. He wandered around looking for water to quench his thirst, didn't find any place. He became desperate. And wandering here and there, he finally came upon an ashram or a hermitage of the sage Shamik Rishi. The sage was absorbed in deep meditation and wasn't conscious of the external world. He was absorbed in his own internal consciousness. He did not realize that King Parikshit had come to his hermitage. King Parikshit at that time, for some reason, which is again the arrangement of the Lord, became offended, annoyed, that here I'm the king of the whole planet and I have come to his hermitage and this sage is not even opening his eyes to say a few words of welcome. One can understand that he's living in a hermitage in the forest and he doesn't have many facilities to offer an appropriate welcome for the emperor, but at least he could have spoken a few words, a kind words, and said, Your Highness, welcome to my ashram. At least he could have said that. Normally when an emperor goes into an ashram, even sages would stand up and welcome the king. Because the king in those days were Rajarishis, they were saintly kings. They were meant to be representatives of the Supreme Lord Himself. Naradev, God on earth. Not God with a capital G. They were God with a small g because they were humans, but were representatives.